Hello, everybody, and I'm so pleased to have Rob Sechin interviewed again. Thank you so much for taking your valuable time, Rob.
Glad to be here, Roger.
So, look, Rob, you are a not here just to compliment you, right, to juice you up, but you really are a legend. You grew an incredible business at big banks and brokerage firms, Morgan Stanley and UBS. You have a meteoric rise on Wall Street, now creating NewEdge. And which is growing dramatically as well, and getting a lot of headlines and getting a lot of looks by the mass market advisory population. But let's start with just how did you build such an incredible $5 billion assets underneath the advisement business, 20 million bucks in revenue? Just incredible. How did you actually use these big banks to grow such an incredible business?
I think those big bank platforms, Roger, are tremendous. Especially when I started, I think they were advantaged. When I started at Morgan Stanley in 1996, when Morgan Stanley had all those big brand names that we all remember, the Barton Biggs, the Byron Weens, the Steve Roaches, the Mary Meekers, and so on and so forth. And it was a wonderful franchise from which to launch a business. I also had a lot of luck, like any advisor that's successful. Morgan Stanley at the time, under my current partner, it was led by John Strauss back then, bought a consulting business called Greystone, which was really a paradigm shift in the way that advisors gave clients access to a tool set and basically gave them advice. And I embraced that. I embraced change. I think that was central to any success that I've had. It's probably central to any success that any advisor has had. And on the back of that Greystone business, I began to build a very large advisory practice, helping wealthy families manage their money. It was really focused on that type of vertical. And leveraging a great global bank that felt like a boutique. Let's remember that Morgan Stanley back then was 300 advisors. That was prior to the merger with Dean Witter. It was a vastly different business. We merged with Dean Witter after that. I went to Lehman Brothers, where I tried to recapture some of that smaller boutique with global capabilities. I think that's an important theme that we'll talk about throughout this. Lehman was a great place until obviously it wasn't after the global financial crisis. I had to regroup, find a place where the ground wasn't shaking. UBS was my Carpathia. And coincidentally, John Strauss went from, when Lehman hit the iceberg, John Strauss went from Morgan Stanley through JP Morgan to UBS, and I ended up working with John at both those places. And here we are together again today. But UBS was a great place to build a large business. I built one of the largest businesses in the country there, maybe the world there, focusing on wealthy families. And I was a beneficiary of what I thought were two very good environments throughout my life cycle. So post the tech bubble and then post the financial crisis, where families needed better advice, differentiated advice, and we were able to provide it. And so there was a lot of success there.
So you use the resources of the bank to benefit, of course, obviously your clients until you felt you outgrew them. And it seems that there is, and clearly there's a mass migration away from these big banks and brokerage firms, and leveraging now the tools on the independent side to better the value proposition for the clients. So why are advisors, why is there a mass migration in your opinion? What are they, why advisors missing? They believe that, and with due respect, that these platforms are true open architecture. They have incredible tools. They can offer everything from lending to structured credit to alternatives. And I mean, what are they missing?
It's not necessarily what they're missing. I think you have to know, and it's just intuitive, that no one bank is the best at everything. And so, as advisors, we're seeking to drive best outcomes for clients. And if you're part of a single platform, that becomes infinitely more difficult because Goldman may have one set of things that they're great at. JP Morgan may have one set. UBS may have another, B of A, et cetera. And then there's a whole host of boutique organizations that can be really helpful for different problems that a client might have. And so pigeonholing yourselves into a heavily curated banking platform that is very regulated and ultimately has to manage the lowest common denominator. Realize these banks have grown substantially. Their advisor forces have grown quite substantially. The reality of it is they have a very narrow set of tools from which to help clients. And my view in all this is if you can avail yourself to the best of what everybody has to offer, and that includes some of the boutique firms, you're going to drive better outcomes. I'll give you one example of that in particular. We've had clients that had structured lending needs that couldn't be accommodated by any of the banks, frankly. And we really leverage the private credit markets, the hedge fund markets, to craft lending solutions for them that I wouldn't have been able to do outside of the bank. And effectively what happens is if you can't do that, you expose yourself to the client seeing different ideas. We want to be relevant for anything that has a dollar sign in front of a client decision to help them make a better decision, to be a true advisor, not a product salesperson for the bank.
You had a client, an example, that as a client that had a large concentrated position in an illiquid security that the other banks would not offer the solution. So as an example, right? So in that example, what is the advantage on the independent side, and particularly, of course, NewEdge?
So there's a whole non-traditional lending market, kind of a shadow banking market. You see it very prominently in private credit today in some of the corporate landscape, but it also exists in the individual landscape. And being able to go out there and help that client source something that can help them in a liquidity pinch. These are not clients that are not credit worthy. It's just they're outside the typical framework from which a bank might lend. That runs across lending, liability management, a whole host of different categories where just casting a broader net, expanding the menu, enables you to drive a better outcome through just a structural advantage.
Right. Includes traditional asset management and certainly alternative investment management, right? It's a subset of four offerings on the alternative investment platform, and what's on the platform can only be offered and offered for the 100,000 or asset class for one particular client, or that's the $1 million producer, or good for the $20 million producer. So as an example, again, on the alternative side, you have a world of choices.
No question. Many of the, I would argue, the best funds do not need any help with capital introduction, right? And the banks have a framework where they have to bring funds onto the platform that are significant in size so that they can offer them to a large advisor population. It almost doesn't make sense for them to bring some of these boutique strategies on, despite the fact that these strategies are terrific and produce superior risk-adjusted returns, because it doesn't make economic sense and it creates political tension within the bank to be able to only offer them to a handful of their advisors. So you tend to get more beta plays in terms of the alternative exposure you get. There's nothing wrong with that. The bigger funds out there have some tremendous resources and their appropriate portfolio. But if you're looking to add something that maybe has a little more distinction to it and can be a little more surgical and take advantage of differentiated opportunities, those are not going to make their way onto the banking platform in most cases. And certainly some of the best providers in those spaces are not going to be willing to engage in fee sharing in a very large portion of the assets that they raise. And so there's kind of a negative adverse selection that happens if you don't include them in the mix of candidates to allocate to. And so this notion of expanding the menu goes beyond going into just big bank channels. It goes outside those banking channels.
Understood. Switching gears to your leadership, you being a disruptor on Wall Street, creating one of the fastest growing RIAs in the nation, and very few advisors of past have built, have gone out and built an enterprise like you have, and have, if they had followed with them, they would be, have done extremely well a past. I mean, look at Bel Air Investment Management from Todd Morgan from Goldman Sachs, Luminous Capital from Alan Safran. Look at it, Iconic and Devesh, Summit Trail, Jack Peterson, Frank Golly.
My former partner, by the way, Jack Peterson at Summit Trail.
And so these are some incredible advisor names who have taken the leap to create their own independent firm. Very few. Why you? And also, what you've also been able to create is a RIA that's built by advisors, and managed by former Wall Street senior leadership, John Strauss and Bob McCann. And I mean, it's super impressive. Had others followed the lead of Devesh, or followed the lead of Jack or Frank Golly, even Greg Fleming, right? Look what he's done. So not to boast, but to really compliment, right? You're a leader, you're a shaker. Why follow you? And what is your differentiating factor?
So no doubt it's a very exciting time to be in the independent space. I liken it to what happened in the early 2000s in the hedge fund community, where the star traders were leaving the big prop trading desks at the banks, and the banks were forced to make a decision. Do we try to compete with these guys, or do we enable them? And some of the biggest and best were able to get cap intro from the banks. They were able to trade with the banks. The banks provided them leverage. The banks were effectively arms dealers to that community. There's a migration that's happening now, undoubtedly, to this independent space. And the concept of advisors going independent has been widespread. It's continuously growing. You're seeing yearly increases supported by really compelling statistics. Assets at firms are increasing. The big firms are increasing, but market share is decreasing. You can't mask that, right? So they've been the beneficiary of asset increases, but market share going away. And I think most smart and creative big banks recognize this, and they're willing to play the same game they did in the prime brokerage community. Frankly, it's the same game that McKinsey plays when one of their star consultants goes and becomes the CEO of a company, and then that company's a client of the street, of their firm, really. So I would tell you that everybody is thinking about this, not just the advisors. Their clients are thinking about the structural advantages that are likely to be had by externalizing. That's why family offices are being created. Why? To expand the menu, to better price, to surround yourself with great content, and organize it with superior technology that often isn't available at the banks. So before establishing NewEdge, we looked at a lot of different options. And I can tell you that none of those competitors that you mentioned in their current form felt like the right choice for us. So we decided to partner with EdgeCo to create it. And I would argue that there were a lot of pioneers in this industry, but we had a significant advantage. Why did we have a significant advantage? Well, we partnered with private equity, and we partnered at Parthenon Capital, Waterfall Capital, both enormously successful investors in the financial services space, and ended up really partnering with one of their portfolio companies called EdgeCo Holdings. And EdgeCo is a tech-enabled solutions firm. So they're used to being the Intel inside for a lot of different financial services practices. And what we were able to do is set on top of that effectively start halfway up the mountain while everybody else had to climb a long way. We started there and only had to summit. And I think what it led us to, one of the advantages that we have is the depth of resources relative to some of the other firms that you've mentioned, whether it be the enormity of talent we have in marketing, the enormity of talent that we have in our technology group, which is over 150 people that simply focus on tech integration and making sure that when we sit down at our desks and we have all these great financial technology solutions, that they work together, they work in a very virtuous way. So that was one. The other thing, the other advantage that I think we bring, other than having all that depth of resources, kind of we get to stand on the shoulders of giants. You mentioned Bob McCann. You mentioned John Strauss. These are legends in our industry. What you haven't mentioned is people like Chuck Warden, who's a legend in the independent industry. My partners, Alex Goss and Neil Turner, who in their respective world were legends, right? They built enormously big practices. So you have leadership talent that is very significant. The depth of our financials have enabled us to hire some of the best and brightest in the industry in wealth strategy and investing. I mean, you almost can't turn on the TV without seeing somebody from New Edge. It's because we have some really deep expertise in those categories.
Your investment advisory board
is Lee Cooperman, Tom Lee, Steve Einhorn. There is, and the list goes, Kyle Bass and a whole host, Bob Matz, people that inform our investment and decision process that I think are confidence inspiring to both advisors and clients and make a difference. They're not doing that for anybody else. And so we've put together a pennant contending, if not an all-star team of talent that allows us to maybe punch above our weight this early in our existence.
In open architecture in every aspect, lending and investment solutions alternatives, but also custodians. I mean, Goldman Sachs is on your platform.
Yes. We are a custody agnostic firm. We did start with the principal custodian being Fidelity, but we have multiple channels, multiple affiliation models at our firm. We can allow advisors to have their time and build their own businesses in our NEA channel, picking their tech stack, picking their custody partner, leveraging our infrastructure. So that's a great business. Or you can join our high net worth practice, our ultra high net worth practice that has Fidelity, Goldman, we're bringing on Schwab. And so we've got this great infrastructure that allows advisors in a very effective way to separate custody and advice. And that's a huge advantage in the marketplace. The other thing is, as you think about going independent, Roger, and I think this was what allowed us to be successful, we were smart enough to realize that while our clients are entrepreneurs and wealthy families, they're not looking to back our entrepreneurial endeavor. This is their money. They care about it. And so the size, significance, and scale of what we've been able to do, the infrastructure from a cybersecurity and just checks and balances is different. So we reside in a very sweet spot between the big firms, which lack mobility and are not quite as nimble, and the smaller firms that lack that feeling of safety and substance.
So touch on that point about clients, right? Advisors are fearful, right? Not having a UBS, Morgan Stanley, a Merrill Lynch name behind them. And they fear that joining a representing an independent RIA is risky, right? And they will transition their assets. Talk about your transition, talk about transitions of other advisors that have joined your platform. And also from the point of view of clients, how do they think? Why are they moving assets to RIAs and droves?
So listen, again, the statistics are undeniable. And I imagine that like me, many advisors are getting pressure because of the over-curated nature of the platforms that they're part of. By definition, clients wonder if they're getting the best of everything by being only a client of UBS or or Goldman Sachs or JP Morgan. Why not be in a platform that has the advantages of availing yourself to the best of all those? So I think advisors are wondering, clients are wondering, and my clients certainly were a catalyzer in getting me to advance that discussion. What was the second part of the question? I'm sorry.
Really, like, I mean, from assets really transferring over and
my transition. You asked about my transition. I had 90% of my clients join me within the first 5 months and 100% inside of a year. Most advisors have fairly successful transitions. I think over the last 3 years, we've gotten better at identifying what assets are transferable. There's no question that as you go through a process, you learn what may or may not be difficult. And the big firms have tried unsuccessfully in most cases to retain assets, but I think clients are too aware of the benefits. Our advisors, on average, are well over 90% of their assets and revenue within a year. And obviously, the economics in independence are significantly different. And so they end up being better off, or they end up being owners of the platform with us. So I think it's a very daunting thing, because anything that you don't know, anything that's different, you'd be crazy not to be a little scared. I mean, that's human nature. But when you actually look at the statistics on the transitions, it's very, very powerful. And any difficulties we've had, we've learned from. And I would say I don't suspect them to be there in the future, because we know on the front end how to address them.
So talking about the economic opportunity, right? One can start their own RIA, build equity on their own. Why join you? What is the equity opportunity? What is the package? And in my opinion, it's one of the best on the street. Why? A, it's a true plug and play. You join, you have an incredible infrastructure. You have advisors run by advisors. You have a firm that's run by, you know, Wall Street veterans, right? Your technology, your resources. So why? Some advisors might think that the play is over. Okay. You built an incredible, in a very short period of time, a great firm. So why is it early? And why is that equity worth as much as what I believe it is?
Well, thank you for that comment. When I think about it, we have multiple ways that advisors can join our firm. We have a high payout affiliation structure, and we have a partner model where you can own equity. Both platforms are invite only. One of the things that we focus on is making sure we want to dominate the elite advisor category. Right? You're only as good as the point of delivery to the client, right? So you can have a wonderful platform, but if you don't have exceptional advisors, it's not going to translate into a wonderful business. When we buy a team, we create a pro forma P&L and pay a multiple based on those earnings using our institutional capital and our valuation. The other way to do it is to affiliate with us, where an advisor plugs in, uses our platform at a high payout, and we can buy them at a later date. When I think about the notion of going out and setting something up, we wouldn't be where we are today. I can promise you that. I think in 2015, when I began to think about this and started to see the wonderful but disparate resources that are out there that you need to be together, I find it incredible that people would embark on that, because it slows down your growth for a minimum of 3 years, maybe four. And you can see that because of the nature of the way we've passed many in the industry in terms of our size, scale, and capability, just in having those resources there already. I didn't have to worry about cybersecurity. I didn't have to worry about a complete finance team. My technology worked every day. It was fully integrated. I had a deep pool of intellectual resources. And remember, if you're in the ultra high net worth space or the high net worth space where New Edge advisors are, clients don't want you learning on them. I can promise you that. right? That's a very scary proposition to them, and I think would change the conversion ratios.
And so let's again focus on economics. Parthenon Capital is your venture behind you. Parthenon is it when it comes to their success in purchasing and selling RIAs, right? Their average turn is, as I understand, 5X. They've had 10 baggers. Having equity in your in NewEdge is something advisors are really interested in, riding on your coattails. Is it too late?
Not at all. And that's evidenced by the fact that Parthenon is incredibly, and Waterfall, our other institutional investor, are incredibly excited about staying in this equity for a long time. And by the way, I would say it's the same equity that our partners have. There's not a different class of equity between Parthenon, us, and any advisor that gets it. So we all own the same stuff. It's not these different categories of equity. Parthenon, as you mentioned, and Waterfall too, Parthenon's an experienced and great investor in the space. When you look at their returns, they're honestly eye-popping. And they don't, and there's a reason. Now that I'm on the inside and working with them in a partnership, every decision is super, super thoughtful. And they have deep experience in the RIA space. They know what drives value. And what, as somebody that was an advisor, that transitioned into a leadership role, that is spending 90% of my time in that leadership role right now. I still manage some relationships with some of my founding clients. I could never walk away from them. I love them, but it's less of my time geared towards that. And my team, my practice helps me with that. But these guys have made every decision that we've made as an organization better. And the proof is in the pudding. So I think if we can continue to execute, and we are ahead of plan, Parthenon's going to be here for a while, and the equity opportunity is very early.
Some view that as a real advantage to join you, joining the coattails of you and the rest of the team, and piggybacking on that. Others see that what happens when you sell to either another private equity shop, you go IPO, you sell to another custodian, and there's concern there. So let's address that concern with those who think that you're going to sell and they're working for a different company.
Yeah, so that is not our strategy right now. Just so we focus on lift outs. We focus on being the lead acquirer, and Waterfall, frankly, are very important investors in a critical phase of our life cycle. So they're here now. At some point in time, they may choose. Their capital is incredibly flexible. They can stay invested for a long time. My view is I want equity in this company as long as possible, because as long as we're growing at the rate we're growing, there's no better place to compound it. I'm not keen on taking money out, getting it taxed at a very high rate, and then doing it again. It doesn't make any sense to me. Let's do what Warren Buffett does and compound over long periods of time in great businesses. I think we're fortunate that we have partners that share that view. I will tell you, Roger, that obviously there could be another investor at some point in time, and there'll be an investor in another chapter of our lives. And I'm sure when they make that investment, they're going to want to continue to support the business so that their investment can be realized. I think there's no better partner than private equity. No better partner, because they are investing to drive a better outcome. And trust me, our experience is they do invest. They make those investments. If they prove out, they continue to feed those investments. If they don't work, we pivot, we change, we move on to the next thing. But I have no anxiety, especially in a human capital business, where the assets are the advisors and the intellect that surrounds them, of having a partner that we don't want to have. I think that would be not consistent with the objective on how we picked our private equity partner.
And nor do advisors when they join you, right? Think about, hey, this is a short-term opportunity and I want to exit out of the business. They're still going to be managing their clients' assets. Maybe there's an equity partner behind them maybe a little bit more value prop on the custodians or offerings, but they're still owning a piece and being involved in the business. I mean, again, back to Todd Morgan and Luminous and Iconic and Summit Trail and Jordan Park. And I mean, they want to be managing their clients' monies for until they pass or they want to sell, you know, sell out at a long-term capital gains, right? So to conclude, where are you, do you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years from now? Where do you see this business going to?
Yeah, so I don't think about myself that much. I hope I continue to be an important part of this company. I've had an enormity of fun with my partners and the legends in the industry that surround me and make me more effective, me and my partners more effective. I think in 5 years, there's going to be a 5 mega RIAs in the industry, and I have no doubt that NewEdge will be one of them. I think we will occupy hallowed ground. It will be, we're going to be one of the elite firms in the industry. We're going to grow the firm in a thoughtful and purposeful way by bringing on elite advisors to serve any market in our NEA and NEW channels. And I suspect that if you have all the right ingredients and you can get those ingredients to work well together, which we have done thus far, that there's no way to push us off that path. And thank you. I want to compliment you for always putting us in touch with exceptional advisors that we think are a cultural fit, that we think share the same values that we have and want to be part of something that is special. Wayne Gretzky, the puck's going this way. You skate to where the puck's going, not where it is. I am telling you, these are going to be the big firms of tomorrow. And I invite anybody out there that wants to have a conversation with us to have that conversation. It starts with a conversation and you can see if it's for you.
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak and an incredible story and looking forward to watching you grow. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Roger.